We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
They're coming to town. Cheap Trick is the opening act. But Heart is going to be in town this summer. They're coming back.
I saw Cheap Trick stage, front row, only maybe 15 years ago. I can't even remember the name. I don't remember the name of the place. Anyway, it was out in, it was 119th and Strangline. And old 97s were the main act, and Cheap Trick opened up, which was really interesting. But
Cheap Trick opened up for a band that I've never heard of.
Old 97s?
Yeah. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, Americana kind of band. But okay. Anyway, Robin Zander could still sing. Rick Nielsen was spinning the whole time, which I'd heard that. I'd never seen it. Flipping guitar picks everywhere.
Nice.
Cheap Trick's a great live band.
Went and saw Night Ranger last Friday night in Wichita. Bucket list band for me.
Really?
Yep.
That is kind of your era. See, that's where we would split a little. I got about 10 years on you.
Yeah.
And I won't say hair band because that sounds like, and it's a pejorative anyway, but.
Well, I don't think so.
The heavy stuff was just a little past me. And I was by that time more into alternative. So, you know, when people were listening to Night Ranger and stuff, more, I would have been more, well, no, Night Ranger maybe, but. You know, Elvis Costello and R.E.M.
Well,
and stuff like that.
Well, see, so Night Ranger's going on tour this year with REO Speedwagon. And you know how, you've been in the business long enough. You know how this works. Bands like Night Ranger go on these little itty-bitty tours just to test out their material, get warmed up, get used to being on stage again.
And then they'll do a shed tour with somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what this was. But I was really my only disappointment was certainly not the performance. I thought they killed it. I was shocked by how few people there were at the show. I would say 1,500 in a place that would easily seat 5,000.
I'm feeling pretty good if I'm Night Ranger. Haven't done anything forever. It was a long time ago. It's pretty comfy on my couch. Do I get up and go see Night Ranger? Maybe not.
I did.
Good for you.
Drove
to Wichita to do it.
Drove all the way to Wichita. Yeah, and they did two damn Yankee songs. And you know, Brad Gillis, their guitarist,
right, sure.
Played with Ozzy for a brief time.
Brad Gillis did some solo work that was pretty solid, too.
And they did Crazy Train, which was awesome. And then the other guitarist, Kerry something, he played with Alice Cooper, so they did Schools Out.
So speaking of rock and roll lyrics that make no sense, just give me about 5 minutes or a white paper on Sister Christian.
You're motoring. What's your price for flight?
Doesn't he sound like he's
doesn't
saying
make any
you're
sense.
Mojurin? You're Mojurin.
You're motorin.
What's your price for flight? In Finding Mr. Right to be with you. Nah, I don't know. Great song.
I mean,
by
you
the
could
way.
Just be Pearl Jam and never actually say a word.
That's right.
I remember we did a deal on KY102 where it's like, what if Elvis covered Pearl Jam? If Elvis were still alive, he'd want to be relevant, so he'd probably cover Pearl Jam.
By the way,
Jeremy spoken, class today. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
That wasn't
thank you,
bad
and
at all.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, all at the same time.
No. Why don't they bring KY-102 back?
Well, if they did, I'd have a job. Presumably. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, but the Fox does really well.
Yeah.
Playing classic
good
rock.
Radio station, sure.
Yeah, it is a good radio station. I mean, KY-102, when I was growing up, and this is inside baseball for a lot of you, but KY was the station that you listened to. Max Tanamoffin in the morning, Skid Roadie in the afternoon, you at night.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the middays?
Moffat and Fred Rocks, or just Fred Rocks.
Fred Rocks, that's right.
Yeah.
It was one of the greatest radio stations that I ever heard.
That talent there was unbelievable. But I tell you what it was. I was talking with your program director about it. But we just had fun. It's not unlike this show, Scott. And that's not, you know, I'm not blowing smoke. That whole radio station was about being Kansas City.
Yeah.
We were Kansas City people. We weren't doing stuff on the air that was like you could have done in Atlanta or whatever. Most of us were from here. And we just had fun. I mean, the whole station had fun and wasn't too proud of itself. Constantly. Well, you did it here with your stuff too. But, you know, our voice guy out of Milwaukee, a guy named Joe Kelly, would just constantly, the voice that saying, you know, KY-102 was also saying, you suck, you know, to us.
Self-deprecating.
It wasn't funny. Yeah. And then at the top of the hour, we'd say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're, you know, the 100,000-watt flamethrower.
Don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Goof off. Have a good time.
Yep.
You know? But, I mean, you could bring that back.
Yeah. Again, the couch is comfortable.
Well,
if somebody wants to spend the money, I'm there. Sign me up. And that was a lot of it was the best. I was blessed with the most amazing radio career because at KMBZ around all those legends and then to work at KY-102, and I just couldn't have done any better.
Moderate fan of the show, called a couple times.
See, there you go.
That's our favorite caller ever.
Greatest call of moderate fan of the show. I call a couple of times.
Well, it's obviously a riff on what's the line everybody says, you know, first time caller, long time listener.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The TSA intercepted 1,500 guns at airport checkpoints in the first quarter of 2024 alone.
Only 1,200 were mine.
A very minor decrease over the 1,508 firearms found during the same quarter in 2023.
I swear I didn't know it was in there.
Yeah. I don't know how that gun got in my bag. Perhaps the most shocking statistic included in Thursday's news release was the percentage of intercepted firearms that were considered loaded. 93% of all guns found in people's carry-on bags were loaded.
I mean, if you're going to illegally carry a gun into an airport, you got to be ready.
The TSA, well, you do. The TSA did not identify which airports or at which checkpoints the most guns were detected.
You know, again, not a political show. I listen, I understand it. I will only say this. This is not a right or wrong thing. I think history will reckon with our love affair with guns and not know quite what to do with it. Only because it is unique. It's just, we're unusual in that way.
Well, but
again, right or wrong, we are unusual in our embrace of use of and freedom with firearms.
But I own guns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I own a gun. Never in a million years, and I'm flying on Thursday, or mm-hmm. check that on Sunday. I'm leaving the country. I'm going down to Mexico on Sunday. And there's not a chance in hell that my gun accidentally, air quotes, ends up in my bag.
I know, but that's no excuse for bringing all the heroin. What were you thinking?
Kind of like that time you got
really?
Stopped by the drug sniffing dog
now
on
that,
your way
now,
back from Cancun.
Now that's, no, that was A, that was Turks and Caicos.
Oh, sorry.
And that was Coral.
Is the weed better down there?
No. Seriously?
I'm just kidding.
So we land in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're coming back from Turks and Caicos. And I had found some coral on the beach. I did not realize.
You didn't know you could sniff coral? Were you going to grind it down? And
no. You were
desperate.
No, Marty, nobody snorts coral very often.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I go, I take like Ziploc bags, and I grab some sand off the beach. And then I, when I get home, I go and I get like a little jar at Hobby Lobby or something, and I'll put the sand in there. And then on the top, I'll put some shells or.
Because you're just in Hobby Lobby getting your macrame and decoupage supplies anyway?
Yes, I am. That's right. Okay. And my painting supplies.
That's lovely.
And so.
You and Bob Ross.
We were in Turks and Caicos.
Little tappy tap.
Little tap tap. Little tappy tap tap. Little happy tree.
You can sell that. You can get a consignment slot at the old Red X in Riverside. You could sell that stuff all day.
So,
ooh, it's a macrame owl.
We're coming back, and I did not realize that you're not allowed to bring coral out of a country into the United States.
Hmm.
And so we're sitting there waiting for all of our bags. We get them, and here comes this little basset hound. And he's like, and my brother, I mean, this dog is locked on my suitcase. And my brother looks at me and goes, what did you do? What have you done? And I said, I haven't done anything. I thought somebody had slipped drugs into my suitcase. And here comes this lady from, you know, ATF or whatever. And she goes, I need you to open that bag. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to prison. And she goes, what's in that bag right there? And it, of course, you know, I have them in little Ziploc bags. So it looks like cocaine, right? Because the sand in
white sand, Turks, white powdery sand.
It's white sand at Turks and Caicos. And I'm like, oh God. I go, it's not
if
cocaine.
But if they're cutting at that course, you need to find a new coke dealer. Let me just tell you.
And so anyway, that's how I found out that you're not allowed to bring coral back from Turks and Caicos.
I had the dog stop me at Dulles for bringing a baguette back from France. Ham and cheese sandwich back from France.
Are you not allowed to do that?
Apparently not.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just bread and some ham, right?
Bread and ham cheese, yeah.
I smuggled some summer sausage back from Bulgaria. Felt like a real criminal. I did not get stopped.
Doesn't that sound like really bad secret code?
It does.
I smuggled the summer sausage from Bulgaria.
Thank you.
You're free to go.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. We're doing mixtape coming up at 4:45 this afternoon. Here are your topics or your categories. The song that your significant other plays when he or she surprises you with a strip tease. First time crowd surfing has to be a 90s Seattle song. And just when everything was going great, he or she walks in the door. You lock eyes. It's been over a year since that one night during the summer. What song fades into the scene? Mixtape with Marty Wall filling in today for Dana Wright. Coming up at 4:45 here on Dana and Parks. So the Masters is underway.
Would you please not tell me who's leading, though? Because I'm
going to
watch all this on tape.
It's on right there.
I know. I haven't been watching it. I'm going to watch it all on tape.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not going to tell you who's leading.
Thank you.
Being a caddy at the Masters is an entirely different experience than doing the job anywhere else. Just ask Ken Martin. Says Martin, caddies are treated really great at Augusta. He caddied for Sandy Lyle at the major tournament last year. We have our own locker room. They feed us wonderful food, the best food I've ever had. But it's a long week. You have to be fit to get around that hilly course.
Yes.
Some of the biggest names in professional golf, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, converge on the famously hilly course this week and this weekend in the Masters Tournament. Golfers are playing for a multi-million dollar cash prize. But much of this year's attention will be on the cash prize that the winning golfer will receive, the purse for the Masters last year. Care to guess?
I've lost track so much and it doesn't even matter to me.
$18 million. But players are not the only ones in line for a big payout. The winner's caddy can even go home with a six-figure paycheck after 4 days of work.
Yep.
I'm trying to see how much a caddy makes.
It's a percentage. It's a percentage of winnings. So if your guy, if your man, as they call it, doesn't do well, then you're not doing well. And if he does well, you're doing very well.
Oh,
so it's an incentive to be a good caddy.
So the caddy of the Masters winner gets 10% of the purse.
Mm-hmm. It's not set in stone, but it is a generally accepted practice, 10%.
So last year, John Rahm won the Masters. He got $3.2 million. His caddy walked away with $320,000. The caddy for the runner-up gets 7% of the player's purse, and every caddy after that gets 5%.
By the way, this is not a score update, but Bryson DeChambeau, arguably the most ripped guy in golf, behind Tiger Woods, because I don't know what he's been doing, but he is jacked, ripped a post out of the ground to get it out of the way of his shot. Set it to the side, took his shot, birdied the hole, and put the post back in the ground.
Strong like bull.
Strong like bull.
Clear the way.
Have you ever heard of, you had kids in high school, obviously. Have you ever heard of senior assassins?
By the way, I did not have kids in high school. My dogs could have been to high school, but it didn't happen that way. But,
well, that was an awkward moment for me.
Very awkward. It was that sad moment when we discovered there would be no children. I just didn't end up having kids.
That was awkward. Sam, if you'll come in here and extract my foot from my mouth.
How does your shoe taste?
It's gummy.
It's not a big deal.
Gummy. Police are warning about potential consequences for teens playing a popular game known as Senior Assassins if they don't play it properly.
Oh, this story.
Have you heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
So,
how come I wasn't prepped on any of these stories? I've got all this A-list material for all the stuff you guys sent me.
Senior Assassins is a game where you use squirt guns and or water guns, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And you have people in your group that you compete against, and you have to sneak up on them. You can't do it at school.
You can't do it at any school-sanctioned event because the game itself is not school-sanctioned.
Right.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Senior assassin.
Right. It's a $5 buy-in, or at least it was when I was playing. And you get a bracket similar to that of March Madness.
So
it's
gaming, and that's why the schools can't be involved.
I feel like we did do this. I mean, look, man, it was so long ago. I feel like we had something. We didn't call it that. I would remember that.
The game is incredibly old, and for whatever reason, now in Overland Park, people are calling the cops, because there's teenagers hiding out in bushes outside of people's homes, because that's how you play the game.
And then you jump out of the bushes, or you
spray them with the water gun.
You wait for them by their car when they get off work or whatever. And if you can hit them with the water gun before they ever find you, then they're disqualified.
That is correct.
And you keep going.
I didn't do this, but I remember it happening. Called it something else.
According to police, the game involves forming teams for a tournament-style competition in which students eliminate competitors by tagging them with water guns. But in Arlington Heights, I believe that's in near Chicago, police say the live-action game is an annual springtime tradition.
In Chicago, they use real guns. So that's the only difference. I mean, you know, gotta say it adds some sauce.
Says really seriously.
Well. Chicago, you know, it's wide open town.
Say police game rules specify the activity cannot take place during school hours or on school property. Players who are attempting to locate their opponents at various sites, including at homes, local parks, and other gathering spaces within the community, students often hide in odd spots, chase their targets through yards, and appear suddenly in a vehicle or on foot. They are urging children, seniors in high school, I shouldn't say children, to be more careful. Because a lot of guys are walking around in hoodies and ski masks.
That's not the problem of the game. It's the problem of the culture we're in, where now it's kind of scary, right?
And why are you
because
in a hoodie?
Because otherwise,
and ski
why
mask?
Take the fun away from it?
Why are you in a hoodie?
Yeah.
Has anybody talked about how low he sits in his chair?
You used to sit this low
I did. You remember that?
When you used to work over at 610 Sports.
Yes, I would sit way down there. The more I could feel like I wasn't in that room at the time, the better it was.
Well, that's not how I feel.
Well, that was my deal. But yeah. No,
that's
I used to do that
to
too.
Split the computer screen so I could see him. Otherwise, I would never see him in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally look like a child.
Well.
No, you don't have to. Don't change your mojo for me, brother.
I'll sit up straight.
No, now you look like a newsman.
I'm ready to read the news, Marty.
You're working with Mike Shannon again. Very stentorian today.
Let me fix my tie.
I came here in a suit. Because I go everywhere in a suit.
I sleep in a suit.
All right. I did it too. That's just weird to see. I must have looked like.
I remember walking by that studio.
Oh, man.
And
it's right next door.
I know. Yeah. And you were as low to the ground as anybody could be in a chair.
I'm just freaking out that you're in the same dang studio as the day I got fired from this joint 16 years ago.
Why did you get fired?
I made too much money.
Oh.
And I was kind of a
That's not our problem.
I was a malcontent, generally speaking. I was a rock. You know what? You want to know the story here? It's take 30 seconds.
Don't badmouth the company too much.
I won't, because okay. Radio's radio. People make mistakes. But I was a rock and roll disc jockey, right? And I did well. And they said, hey, no, here's a chance for you to make more money and talk more and be more yourself or whatever and do sports talk, which you love, and you're conversant in sports, et cetera. But we're going to do it. We're going to have like a rock and roll sports show. So you're not going to have to be like telling me about what, you know, I think you should move the tackle to guard. That's not what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be having fun with sports.
Talk about life.
And we did that for about a week. And a guy from corporate came in and said, oh, actually, we're going to do it differently. And then I'm stuck there going, talking about the minutia of OTAs with the Chiefs or whatever. And I couldn't care less.
The what's of the what's?
I know.
I don't even know what an OTA is.
Or organized team activities. And I didn't either until I got to Sports Talk, where you dive deep into the minutia of the daily life. And I was I became instantly bored. And so there, you know, I wasn't going to last. And that's finally
I like
said goodbye.
I like sports, but I don't.
Oh, I love sports, but yeah, I can't. No.
I can't do the minutia stuff.
New.
I like to watch 22 grown men run around in shorts on a field. And
yeah, it's anyway. So that's how it happened. And, you know, I left. So here I am again, 16 years later.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Mixtape at 445 this afternoon with Marty Wall here on Dana and Parks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Love this song.
Man.
Long overdue award here. The women who became known as Rosie the Riveters.
Yeah.
For their work in helping to lead the United States to victory during World War II were honored this week with a congressional gold medal that is the highest civilian award that Congress can bestow. Says House Speaker Mike Johnson, we don't talk politics. I'm just quoting. These are the women who built our bombs. These are the invisible warriors on the home front. Rosie the Riveter was the moniker given to women who went to work during World War II, taking on roles historically dominated by men while the men were drafted and had to go fight overseas. Around 5 million civilian women, I did not know there were that many, went to work during the war, many helping to build equipment for the United States, while around 350,000 American women served in the military. Decades after their work, the Rosie the Riveters were collectively awarded with Congress's highest civilian honor this week. Long overdue. One of the women, Lucille McDonald, 98 years old, lives in Hawaii. She was 17 years old, left her family's farm in South Carolina, and hopped on a Greyhound bus to Georgia. McDonald told ABC News this morning that she was scared to death. That's when I said, and I'm quoting here from McDonald, that's when I said, do something about it. Just do something. Stop worrying and do something. So I became very patriotic and very much in love with my country. At 17 years old, she jumped on a bus and became a welder in a shipyard.
They did that here. Lots of Rosie the Riveters down in Fairfax.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember the name of the entity and what it became. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But, we were all those industries were turned to war efforts, and now I can't remember the name. Anyway, gigantic manufacturing facility in Fairfax. It was happening all over.
I'll be done. Story here from CNN. The school cafeteria versions of popular kids' grocery store snack kit Lunchables is apparently packed with too much sodium.
Hey, yes. According, really? This just in?
According to a consumer watchdog group, Lunchables developed two new versions of the snack kit specifically to be available nationally as part of the school lunch program for the first time last year.
Aren't they like 95% salt?
Yeah.
Isn't that 5% the
point? Food?
Yeah, that's how they keep it fresh.
Convenience ain't healthy, folks.
But a new report from Consumer Reports said it recently compared the nutritional profile of two Lunchable kits served in schools and found that they have even higher levels of sodium than the Lunchable kits that consumers buy in stores.
Ooh.
460 to 740 milligrams per serving.
You know, great story, but shy, just a chilling story, and I can't remember what who did the investigation. But at any rate, obviously the tobacco companies got in big trouble for putting stuff, additives, in tobacco products that made people even more likely, as if the nicotine wasn't enough, he said, with a nicotine pouch in his mouth right now, putting stuff in to make you more addictive. Also, they made the, when I was a kid, they made the cherry-flavored chew and stuff, you know, Happy Days, mint.
They still do.
And you find out that these guys, knowing that their market was going to shrink because of the federal regulations on the distribution and the high taxation, et cetera, of tobacco products, that they then put that same technology to work in all kinds of snack foods. And so R.J. Reynolds ended up buying a bunch of, nothing like getting on the air. Well, you do it every day. Nothing like getting on the air talking about it with no discrete facts. But so I can't remember exactly which foods, et cetera, but a big chunk of the manufacturers of snack foods were tobacco companies are owned by tobacco interests, and they're doing the same thing. All their flavor profiles are such that you'll just want it.
It's amazing how many brands in this country that we buy on an everyday basis are owned by seven companies. One of them is a tobacco company.
I smell a good...
Would it be R.J. Reynolds?
I don't know which one it is.
Or American Tobacco?
As he said, we're...
U.S. Tobacco, yeah.
Going here having a conversation with no legitimate facts ready to be presented, but I believe it is seven different companies that own like 95% of the brands that we buy.
I mean, we are ready for a Conspiracy Theory Friday right now. We're going to take a short break. We will resume broadcasting from the bunker.
Coming up, learn how to fold your tinfoil hats.
Seven companies own the whole damn world.
I thought that was gum in your mouth.
That's, you know. When you're a kid growing up.
I'm not judging you. I'm wearing I wear a nicotine patch all the time.
When you're a kid.
16 years.
Longer than that.
Platte County was a gigantic tobacco producing per capita, but you had no idea how much you produced. Anyway, they used to have they had like the tobacco festival up near Weston. And you'd go up there and as a kid and hang out, and they'd have rides and stuff. And I mean, it wasn't like a carnival, but there was, you know, around the auctions, I think, which were in the late summer or fall. And they'd just hand out the chew. You know, here, it's free. We'd drive up there and go, I'll take that chew. And so, yeah, I got stuck on that stuff for 30-plus years before they brought these pouches out.
By the way, it was 11 companies. I apologize, not seven.
Like a moron.
That's not nearly good enough for the conspiracy theory.
I shouldn't have looked at the facts.
Why facts. Are you inserting facts into this show?
Sorry,
Max.
We don't do research, Sam. Why would you bother?
Man,
you're bringing us down.
I knew I liked you guys.
Killing the vibe, man.
When I first moved to Leavenworth, I started smoking in a foreign country I'm not allowed to talk about anymore. And, but when I got to Lansing, I started, what?
Speaking of conspiracy theories.
What?
I started smoking in a foreign country I'm not allowed to talk about.
They won't let me talk about it anymore.
Who's they?
Sam
again,
and Dana.
I was looking the government.
Well, this all dates back to when he would mention a lot of random things over and over and over again, to the point that our wonderful esteemed newsreader at the time, who is now on Kansas City's Morning News, Wink Starrett, decided it would be a wonderful idea to write up a Dana and Parks bingo card.
Oh, for the number of times you
and
say?
The free space.
Wouldn't it have been just been easier to adjust his medication? I know you've tried that with Dana.
With Dana.
The free space was.
It ain't working.
The free space was when I lived in Germany.
Okay.
Because that happened.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
So I come back to the States. I start. We don't have a soccer team at Lansing, so but I wanted to play sports. So I started playing football. And every Friday before the game, we would go to Golden Corral, where they would jack us up on carbs for the game that night. Well, if you've ever eaten at Golden Corral, God bless them.
Not since my 25th anniversary.
Right.
But go ahead.
But if you've ever eaten at Golden Corral, as soon as you got back to the high school, it was a mad dash to the bathroom. And I was jonesing for a cigarette before a game one time, and I'm sitting in a stall, and Scott Bohannon is in the stall right next to me. And I said, God, I'd kill for a cigarette right now. And underneath the stall slides a can of Skoal. He goes, put that between your cheek and gum.
Mm-hmm.
And like an idiot, I did it. And I was hooked on chew from that moment on. And so at some point, my dentist was like, why don't we give that up? Because otherwise I'm going to have to probably saw off your lower jaw.
Yes.
And so I started putting on the nicotine patch. Well, I got addicted to the nicotine patch.
Sure.
It's all I still wear it to this day.
Well, you know, it's much, much better than putting that stuff in your mouth. So you're doing good.
Well, I don't put the nicotine patch in my mouth.
Have you tried it?
No. It says not to.
Man, you're not living.
All right, we're going to do mixtape coming up in just a moment. We need three judges and two alternates, please. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Mixtape. Three judges, please. When we return here on Dana and Parks. All right, we got to get moving because we got about 6 minutes to get this all in. So about 2 minutes per category.
Thanks for my song, though.
You're welcome. It's time for mixtape. Mark in Kansas City, are you ready to play, my friend?
Let's give it a go.
All right, buddy. Your category is as follows. The song that your significant other plays when she surprises you with a strip tease. Okay?
Forever in Blue Jeans, Neil Diamond.
Okay, no, that didn't make the list.
Oh,
are you are you ready?
You got to do better than that anyway.
Okay, here comes song number one.
That's Barry Barrett.
Mm. All right, all right, all right. Prince, Raspberry Beret. Okay? That is song number one. Here is song number two.
Good choice.
That's a tasty treat.
Owls.
Lionel and the Commodores.
She's mighty, mighty.
With Brick House. Here is song number three, Mark. Oh, these are good.
Bum, 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 bum.
All right, you got Commodores, Brick House, Prince, Raspberry Beret, or the great Tom Jones with You Can Leave Your Hat On.
I'm an old school guy. I'm going to go Mr. Tom Jones.
Woo! And Marty Wall chalks up his first point for the day.
Thank you. You're my kind of man.
All right, Marty
well
with
done,
one,
Mark.
Sam and Scott with zero. Sean in Warrensburg. Sean, hello. Good afternoon.
Oh, I was hoping for the strip show.
Well, maybe when you get home.
There you go.
If you were in this room, you know you would not be hoping for the strip show.
All right. Here's your category. First time crowd surfing. It has to be a 90s Seattle song. And here is song number one. All right. All right. All right. Nirvana's In Bloom is in the mix. Here is song number two, Sean. Pearl Jam's Even Flow makes the list. And Sean, here is song number three. Soundgarden's Spoon Man. So here is your category. You know it, 90s crowd surfing. Nirvana's In Bloom. Spoon Man by Soundgarden or Even Flow by Pearl Jam?
I'm going to go with Mushmouth, Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam.
Wow.
Yeah, don't mess with me.
Wow.
I'm saying don't mess with me.
Marty Wall.
Right, well, the game's over. That was fun.
Marty Wall has just won, and we haven't even gotten to category number three.
What did I do for 24 years? I was a disc jockey. Yeah, there you go.
Adam in Grain Valley. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Scott.
Hi. Here's your category. Just when everything was going great, he or she walks in the door. You lock eyes. It's been over a year since that magical night last summer. You haven't seen her since. What song fades into the scene? And here is song number one. Well, that's a good one. Someone I Used to Know by, and nobody can ever pronounce the name right. It's Gate or Gyote or whatever his name is. Okay?
Goaty,
whatever. Yep. Who cares? Here is song number
he does.
Two. All right. Richard Marx, Endless Summer Nights. And here is song number three. We need it now quickly. What's it going to be? Someone I Used to Know, Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, or Richard Marx, Endless Summer Nights?
Meatloaf, I'm old.
It's a clean sweep.
Oh,
Marty Wall comes in.
I cannot be. You can't stop me. You can only hope to contain me.
Wow, Marty Wall insane. Comes in insane. With a clean sweep hat trick. A hat trick.
Looking like the Royals right
Throw
now.
Throw the octopus on the ice. It's a hat trick.
Hey, it was a pleasure and an honor to broadcast with you today, my friend.
Likewise.
Thank you for coming
so
in.
So glad our paths crossed again. So glad you're doing so well.
And I hope that you will allow me to invite you back.
Happy to be here.
All right. Marty Wall, ladies and gentlemen, filling in today for Dana Wright. Festivus Friday is next. The airing of the grievances. Get in early at 913-586-7798.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.